The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
It's another busy day in the wrestling neighborhood, and I'm glad you stopped by. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by the freaking awesome network. I almost said WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, you'll notice there is a lack of Jason Block. That's because he's stuck in Vegas, and hopefully he's going to make enough money to actually come over here and pay us. And he should throw a big chunk of it at our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier.
Yeah, right. He blew it all already on gambling. Oh, hi.
Your mic was on.
Actually, a little story. He and his WLTI counterparts actually had a good night the first night they were there in Vegas. But I digress. I look at football on my TV, wrestling on my computer, and a good evening to all of you listening here on NAWC. As I turn another chapter in my life in terms of years.
Yes, we are recording on your birthday, and I'm sorry that we're making you work on your birthday.
Hey, I've been working all day. So it's
That's
no
what
big
I mean.
Deal.
Okay. So also at the table tonight, someone who definitely needs this release, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Fuck my life. The last 2 weeks have been nothing but hell. And none of it's work-related.
Which is a first.
Yeah.
And finally, somebody who's just as pissed off, our buddy on the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman.
Yes, but it's funny that Josh says his is not work-related. Mine's not work-related either, but it involves work people. Fuck job centers.
Mine's a whole lot more personal than that, and
yes, of course, but we won't go into that because that's your own personal stuff.
Right.
Yeah, we need to talk about other things. I'm trying to get the bad shit out of your mind for a little while, anyway. As we're closing in on SummerSlam, one of the big things that's being talked about is the Fatal 4-Way. I am amused at the fact that Roman Reigns is the smallest guy in this match. kudos to Uncle Paul, however, for setting up, without directly saying it, that Lesnar's got 1 foot out the door, so that there's a pretty good chance that that belt's going to move. WWE is probably going to put it on Reigns. My Uncle Paul would like to see it on Joe. Statboy, who would you like to see walk out of SummerSlam with the Universal title right now?
Anybody but Roman. Oops, did I just say that? Because, to be honest with you, Joe... This is what happens when you don't pay attention to wrestling for a few weeks, unfortunately.
Dude, you have some important shit on your plate.
Yeah, real life just kind of walked. To be honest, of those four that I'm seeing in front of me now, I'd want Braun.
There's a pretty good chunk of the audience that would accept Braun. I know you would, Shane.
Yeah, definitely. Braun Strowman has proven over the past few months that he's championship material. And he's taken this gimmick of the monster among men, and he scares the shit out of people. Like, even when he's wearing his pink tight singlets, still no one would fuck with him.
What? You pictures? I want a picture now. I mean, I've seen him goofing in the gym, and I have seen him in other clothes that I'm like, what is this? I don't even.
Let's see.
I've seen the Santa Claus pajamas. That was weird.
There's a There's a picture of him in a pink singlet with this is back when he had his long hair, like had the full long hair, not the stripe that he's got now.
Right.
And wearing a hat. It makes it hard for me to believe that, like, someone that's that intimidating would get on his knees for Karen friggin' Jarrett. Like, it just.
If you're drunk enough, you could get anybody. If that person's drunk enough, you can probably get that person to do just about anything. And to be honest, I would actually want the audio of that, because I can't believe he was doing that seriously.
Yeah, exactly. I understand, like, her ex-husband's Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle's like your boss in quotation marks, but I highly doubt that Braun Strowman, at a good near 7 feet tall, 300 plus pounds, is going to get intimidated by the fact that Karen Jarrett wanted an autograph for her son, and he's got so pissed off, like, not recognizing who she was, and says, oh, yeah, piss off. And then she says, well, I'm just going to call, and she's like, I'm going to call my ex-husband Kurt Angle. And he's like, oh, no, please, God, no, don't call Kurt.
Personally, I think he got down on his knees so he could look her in the eye. But that's news with a Z. And frankly, yeah, you know what Kurt would do? He would laugh and hang up. Or let me talk to Braun.
Exactly. Kurt would be like, look, lady, not my problem anymore. You fucking want to talk to someone, you go talk to Jeff.
Yeah, go ask your husband.
I dare Jeff Jarrett to go up and call Braun Strowman a slap nut, find out what happens.
Karen will get her husband back stuffed inside a guitar.
Woohoo!
And actually, I'd pay to see that.
So he'd finally draw a dime.
Yeah. Because that's the only. It's going to take more than one dime to get him out of there. Anyway, but yeah, my dear Uncle Paul, rumor has it, wants Samoa Joe to win it, because he's probably been the closest match-wise in beating Lesnar. Roman's clashes with Lesnar have been stalemates at best. We haven't seen what Braun can do with Lesnar. So far, this Fatal 4-Way, the winners are the fans. Until Roman wins it. Which is what I think WWE is going to do. They should be putting it on Samoa Joe or Braun. I agree. So, Muckamuck, if you're not too busy in the control room, who do you want? Okay, he's busy. Mm-hmm. I heard a loom.
I'm pretty well. Carl would pretty much be on the same page as all of us. So it's either we want Joe or Braun.
Yeah,
there's nothing against Roman Reigns. Like, look, Roman's doing well with what he's been given, with the whole "this is my yard now" and everything, and I'm actually getting behind it. Don't get me wrong, but Roman's had the title enough.
At least for now, you're absolutely right. That, and also they really need to get somebody to Roman's level on the face side. In fact, if I would oblige, there was a 40-plus minute video put out by Little Karibo, he of Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged Series fame, talking about all of this. And I mean every last piece.
No, I don't have, we don't have time on our, on my show to play it, but.
I know, but it pretty much talks about the entirety of the problem and how to fix it.
So, and, well, at least he's proposing a solution, and I can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, there's a pretty good chance that Roman might not get it if we've got this S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion tease going on.
I really think Roman wants no part of it, though.
Probably not, but I am having fun with the Seth Rollins. Dude, this was 3 years ago. Didn't you see what I did to the guy that I sold out to?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, but holy crap. Can I just say I'm loving the new entrance of Seth Rollins. That was awesome.
Caught me off guard, but I'm okay with it.
I just loved it because his normal thing started, and then all of a sudden it probably scared the shit out of the majority of us, Nikki, like it did you. It was like it was unexpected. All of a sudden you hear this "Burn it down," and we're like, "What the fuck was that?"
You have my attention.
It's like that was awesome.
You have my attention? Yes, burn everything. Burn it all. I want Rollins to inherit all of Kane's fire powers now.
I legit thought when he started doing his old Seth Rollins thing of like smacking his chest, and then as soon as he went to put his fist down, like smack it down, yeah. I'm like, there's going to be fire coming up. And I remembered, oh, wait, WWE are holding back on pyro here. Fuck.
Yeah, because they seem to be freaking out over money, and you know, the fact that they're still making a 7-figure profit, I understand you had an 8-figure profit last year, but I blame it on the fickle fans. I also kind of think you guys are doing way too much of giving away the network. You know, it's nice to have subscriber numbers, but how many paid customers do you really have?
1.6 million. Those are straight paid subscribers. It isn't the paid and the extra, the free month people. It is a straight number.
Okay. Because I see way too much talk online about people that will sit there and they will do the freebie for 2 or 3 months and then they'll drop it. And then they'll sign up with a different email address to get the freebie for another 3 months.
Admittedly, I'm on a freebie right now, but I didn't do that. They said, please come back. And I'm like, okay, sure, it's free.
Well, see, and that pisses me off. I'm a day one subscriber. I want some free months.
Yeah.
I don't think I should have to quit to get them.
It's the only way, unfortunately. Thank WWE for that.
Yeah. I will.
It's called loyalty, people. Fucking loyalty.
Reminds you of cable companies, doesn't it?
Oh, don't go there.
Yeah, I know.
Don't go there.
Reminds me of my current internet subscription, actually. But anyways, I digress.
We won't go there either. But if it turns out, since, you know, I know Roman wouldn't be terribly keen on a S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion, but you know what, man? They've been pushing you and pushing you and pushing you, and it's just not happening. You've had your title runs. I've enjoyed them. I've enjoyed you on screen for 90% of what they've done with you, short of some idiot writers who think you're The Rock. You don't need Rock promos. You need to say 5 words and then punch somebody in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if he ends up back with the S.H.I.E.L.D., then he only has to say 5 words and punch somebody in the mouth. All I can think of is the contract signing when they were getting ready to face Evolution. While Rollins and Ambrose are up there ranting, Reigns is in the background just throwing shit out of the ring. Just casually picking up chairs and throwing them out of the ring. You know, we don't need this shit. We need to talk. Throw this shit out of the ring. That's the Roman everybody wants. So This might be the only way we're going to be able to get him. So we joke about, I joke about Supernatural, you know, supernatural stuff with Rollins possibly gaining fire powers, but I've noticed that the Wyatt Balor stuff is starting to get a little more supernatural. And I didn't think normal Balor could use any of his abilities. He couldn't use any of the Demon King abilities.
Well, looks like the Stand is turning into getting its Requiem. If anybody gets that reference, well, I'll be a roundabout.
I should get that reference. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yep.
Thank you. I want a cookie. Anyway. But yeah, my headcanon loves playing with the supernatural stuff because I like the supernatural shit. Leave me alone. Where Wyatt is going through his spiel and you see boom boom. Boom boom. Boom boom. And the lights go out. I'm thinking, cool. Would Balor actually get painted up for even just a brief appearance? But he teleports in and he's not into makeup. And I'm like, ooh.
He's powering up.
I'm like, okay. And just for a brief second, I'm thinking he's awful uncomfortable using his powers without actually transforming, isn't he?
He looks really comfortable, but I'm going to be brutally honest for a second here. When the lights came back on and he's just standing there with his arms out, I'm like, holy crap, he looks like someone from Grease Lightning. What the fuck is going on right now? I'm like, oh my God, Grease is not the word with WWE. No.
Vince might have only just discovered it, so.
But no, it was really cool. And Bray Wyatt, once again, this is a guy that needs to be Universal Champion because he just sells everything so beautifully. Like, as soon as he knew Balor was behind him, he did the smirk and he laughed about it. And he's like, dude, I love that, man. I love that you've done that. And he's just putting over Balor and then, oh. How this guy has not been Universal, United States, or Intercontinental Champion yet is beyond me.
I agree. I full-heartedly agree because I've been a fan of Swamp Jesus since he debuted, and I still am, no matter how much WWE wants to bury him. Mm-hmm. So you can keep trying WWE, but I'm not giving up the faith just yet. Just like I haven't given up on Sami Zayn. I'm sorry, Shane.
No, I was going to say, here's an interesting question, though, because we haven't seen Demon King Balor since SummerSlam.
Last year, yes.
Yeah, so is this a new tradition that WWE is going to do from now on? That Balor only gets painted up once a year for the biggest party of the summer?
I doubt that, mainly because didn't he kind of miss the other big three until now?
Since he's been down, he was down through the other big three with an injury. The paint is supposed to be for, you know, big deals, big matches. So if he does, you know, if he's anywhere near a title shot and he gets painted up, people are going to pay attention because he's got a pretty solid winning record in the paint. And for SummerSlam, I hope they go all out. I hope he has to show up at the arena at 10 o'clock in the morning to get painted for this one.
And we're talking to, and speaking of injuries, nice little segue.
Yeah.
Looks like we got warning, people. Warning. Injury alert. Because,
oh, no.
Yep. Looks like, and look, I don't want to put blame on this one person because I personally believe that in a wrestling match it takes two to tango, but her track record's just not good at the moment. Nia Jax versus Bayley happened this past week on Raw. And it looks like Bayley has come down awkwardly on her shoulder, and it might have done some serious damage. So much so that she had to go get x-rays done, and we still have not heard yet the results of said x-ray. So Bayley might be missing SummerSlam. In fact, it's that bad that even Finn Balor commented on Twitter and said, "Thoughts are with you, my best friend," with old photos of them back then at NXT.
God, I want them back together in the Fed. I so want them to come back together on Raw.
Curse you, Aaron Solo. Wait.
I just want it to happen again, just because of the dichotomy of happy smiley Bayley and mostly broody Balor.
It's just, like, I don't like doing the whole, like, relationship thing, like, for people outside of the Fed, but these are two people that belong together. I'm sorry. But they fit, and it comes across, like, on TV and in their real lives. These are two people that really care about each other.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I loved all their antics in NXT. I would love to somehow get these two together on Raw. They don't have to be boyfriend and girlfriend. They just happen to be a male and a female who are really tight. And again, you know, with the supernatural shit, I just like to think that Bayley would be the one that has to try to talk him out of being the Demon King to go after certain people. You know, it doesn't require that, or, you know, you're a completely different being when you do that. You know, you scare me.
Yeah.
But then I'd also pay a lot of money to see Bayley painted up as a Demon Queen. So,
God. that would be meta. In fact, if you really want to go down that angle, just seeing as you guys already call her a smark anyways, then just have her be the number one fan of the Balor Club and have her following around Finn like a lost little puppy.
I'd be okay with this. She's done it. She's done the jacket entrance once already.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, if for those of you that say that Bayley's not sexy, watch the thing with her in the jacket and tell me she's not sexy then. Screw you all.
Seriously. And actually, I'm gonna go ahead and throw this in. I need to talk about it. I actually went to an NXT show this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that Ruby Riott may as well be Bayley's little sister. She has the same goofy ass smile that Bayley does.
Curse you, Era Cannon!
Hey, how does he figure into this?
If I'm not mistaken, Ruby Riott is either dating or they're engaged. Oh, dear God, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember because Eric Cannon is dating him. Her.
And she was extremely over at this event. And that might be why.
Oh. That's right. I can go on Facebook because I've got Eric Cannon as a friend.
So do I.
Okay, not listed, but I know I've seen plenty of pictures of those two. Sorry. Okay. Sorry, how to go find her under her real name and...
Facebook stalking in progress, ladies and gentlemen. Live.
Shh.
Don't hate me, Eric.
Dang it, I thought it was. Oh, okay. Yep. They're definitely still together. As far as I can tell, anyway.
Okay. So, just to give you a quick rundown, they decided to give us... First of all, they decided to grace us with Itami Cassius Ohno as our opener. Was that the opener? Or am I wrong? Well, the fact that Itami and Cassius Ohno got to fight. I'm like, how can I not like this? And then Ruby Riott fought, was in a tag team with Liv Morgan against,
Billy Kay and Peyton Royce? Oh.
No, they weren't there. And neither was Asuka, by the way.
Wow.
Deville, the MMA chick.
Sonya Deville.
And then this other gal who has this really long braid.
Bianca Belair.
Her. And we were giving her shit about her braid until she actually slapped somebody with it.
Yeah.
Velveteen Dream dared to show up in the City of Prince. Wearing a Prince logo necklace.
The third eye?
Yeah.
Oh, not the third eye. Sorry, I was thinking of the his most recent logo. Would have been his last, not the infamous.
No, the signature. Symbol. No, his signature symbol.
Yeah, the love symbol.
Yeah, the love symbol. And so people were we got a You're Not Prince chant. A Purple Rain sing-along started. Daydreamer Dan was with me, and he made a Win Doves Cry joke during the match. It was ridiculous. It was funny.
Now, did any of you guys sing Purple Rain to him?
We started a sing-along, and then he hopped up on the corner and tried to lead us in a chorus of it. We're like, no, we're not having that. He also started to kiss up to the referee, who wasn't having any of it. And where's Drake? I did not get my dose of Drake Wertz. I am offended. They had two new refs. One guy is actually pretty good looking and shouldn't be in stripes. He should be in tights. He should wrestle. But that's neither here nor there. Heavy Machinery are doofuses. And I want Heavy Machinery AOP on my NXT. Sooner than later. Aleister Black lives up to the hype. And what was our main? Was Roderick Strong? I hate taking pictures on my phone. Dude. That's Heavy Machinery. Anyway.
Wait a minute. You mean Disorderly Conduct? I mean High Voltage?
No. Heavy Machinery.
You know what I'm meaning.
I know exactly what you're meaning. But yes, of course we had Bobby Roode and everybody went crazy. We had Drew McIntyre and I went crazy. Because I am so glad that he is back in the neighborhood. I really am. Mm-hmm. Roderick Strong finally looks old enough to shave. I really got to stop giving him shit like that.
And start giving shit to Kyle O'Reilly?
Yes, and did I miss... I missed a couple of weeks, so is it true that Bobby Fish is there too?
Yes. He's on WWE's website.
Holy shit, Red Dragon bailed on Ring of Honor.
Yep. I don't blame him.
I don't either, but I need my Bobby Fish-Jack Gallagher feud immediately.
Well, once Jack Gallagher's done headbutting the shit out of the Brian Kendrick, then we'll be good to go.
So that we can have a mustache wax on a pole match, yes. Actually, no. I want a true gentleman's feud out of those two. I want them both to be so ridiculously gentlemanly, you're just going to be like, shut up! Shut up and wrestle. Mm. After you. Oh, no, sir. After you.
But just getting back to the whole Bayley saga.
Yes.
So what... I wonder if she is injured and going to miss SummerSlam, do we do a repeat of Sasha and Alexa again, or do we give someone else a try? Like maybe, I don't know, Mickey James or someone that you guys have been underutilizing there, Emma?
I'd be worried that Emma would be seen like kind of like what Lana is on SmackDown. I would love to see Mickey James just step up and say, "Hey, you know, I've been doing this longer than, you know, any three of these divas on any three of these gals on the roster. Let me have a crack at it." And Dorcas would probably give it to her. I know this might piss a few people off, but they might give Nia her test title match.
Yeah, no.
Just putting it out there.
I know.
So.
Oh, no. I agree. Mickey James would be a great substitute for it. But. Yeah, like if maybe hell if Brie Bella, who's back in training, had been back in training a few months ago, I would have said, "Yep, I'd even take Brie Bella right now."
No, bad.
Oh, what?
Horrid.
What you were? What you don't reckon? You don't reckon that Brie Bella could put on a good match of Alexa Bliss?
I don't know if Alexa Bliss has enough shoulders and back to carry her.
Oh, ouch.
If you must know. So, while Bailey is physically injured, Enzo apparently is professionally injured. What's going on with this?
Okay.
Shit's going downhill, man! The strip club stories, him being professionally annoying as fuck, and overall having a really bad time now, he's essentially turned into Miz Circa 2004, except for a whole lot worse.
Ooh. So they're making him change in the public bathrooms, are they?
Pretty much.
Pretty close. Damn.
That's the whole... Okay. Basically, how it all started was, like, while him and Cass were still together, obviously, a lot of the guys backstage still didn't get along with Enzo. Because Enzo apparently, like Cass said in his promos, ran his mouth and checks his ass couldn't cash. That's one of the main reasons why they wanted to split Big Cass up from Enzo, because he was basically damaging Big Cass.
Okay.
In the process.
Right.
Add on the fact that after they've broken up, Enzo Amore has apparently just gone downhill from there. He had an incident at a strip club where he's not learned the very early lesson that you learn on in life, ladies and gentlemen, of tip your fucking waitress. he didn't tip one of the strippers or the waitresses, and apparently mouthed off at her, and that caused a huge scene.
And I think on top of that, he made a comment that, you know, a while back, that WWE women wrestlers, maybe not the current group, but before that, were nothing but strippers. Well, yeah, you didn't pay them either, Enzo.
How are you doing?
Yeah, so, that comment alone has, put him in the bad books with everyone backstage. So, yeah, now there's only three options that are being left to Enzo Amore, in which our own Tyler Brown has posted on our page as well. What would you rather see Enzo Amore do? Go on 205 Live. Go back to NXT, or have Vince McMahon say the two words of, "You're fired."
Given Enzo's behavior, he doesn't deserve the honor of having Vince fire him.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should move him down if he can still actually go, because I figured half the reason that he hasn't done much wrestling is that there might have been more than one bell rung, you know what I mean? Hey, boss. We're talking about Enzo being in the doghouse.
Yeah, if they don't send him down, they're going to probably go ahead and cut him.
And like I said, they're not even going to give him the Vince McMahon send-off if they cut him.
No, they'll give him the good old Johnny Ace fax letter. best of luck on your future endeavors.
In your future endeavors.
Best of luck in your future endeavors.
I just saw that recently, and I'm trying to remember what I was watching. Anyway,
you were watching Punk talking about Funkhauser.
No, it was something else. I think it was.
Josh, you sounded like Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. It's like, I'm like,
I've never watched Game of Thrones, so what?
Oh, really? Oh my God, there's another one. I can't talk to you anymore. We're done.
You're gonna have to leave, because I don't think anybody else here has.
I haven't either, really? Shane.
You're holy fired. Crap!
Bye. It's been nice knowing you, Sunshine.
Don't let the door hit you in the arse on the way out.
Yeah, and I pay for the damn service here. Okay. So, you're gonna fire me?
Let's get back over here.
Yes.
What I was gonna say is that I wasn't even sure if he was, good enough to go. Ever since that gotch botch. That he had more than one bell rung. How you doing? So, I really think they need to do. They really need to drag him over for a mental evaluation and see if there's just something wrong upstairs. But while send him to 205 Live.
Yeah, I'm getting the same feeling, Nikki, because like you said, he hasn't wrestled much at all. Like, especially with his match the other week with Big Cass, like. He wasn't doing nothing. It was basically a squash match for Cass. So I don't know. I don't want to say he's injured or it's done a lot of damage, but yeah, I definitely think he needs to get a health eval done.
I just, I really think he needs his head examined, and I mean that in an actual medical way. If he can't go anymore, then he needs to be recruited down to the Performance Center to teach people how to cut promos. Because he's still an amazing promo.
If that happens, then NXT is set for life, because you've already got Shawn Michaels down there teaching people the ropes. So you've got one of the best wrestlers ever down there teaching them, mm-hmm. and you. Then you have Enzo Amore go down there and teach him promo skills. Next crop of NXT stars, schmick.
Seriously, and Sean, I didn't see it NXT, but we did see Albert, and everybody hollered some thank yous at him, which he got a chuckle out of. Let me think. What else did I want to talk about? I know that the list was really, really short.
Well, seeing as I we're on the injury train, someone actually missed the injury train, thankfully, had a lucky phrase with it. But then again, he is super, after all.
He actually said Super Cena last week, and I'm like, grrr. Or should I just say meta? But yes, the match that most people thought would only happen in EWR or in a creator wrestler situation in the 2K series happened on free TV. With nothing more than maybe a little pride at stake. Or wait, was it a number one contendership match?
It was number one contendership.
Okay. So, apologies. Since it was a number one contendership match, you know, everybody probably walked in going, lol, Cena wins.
I wouldn't say that. I thought they'd give it to Shinsuke because he was well overdue.
That's what I was hoping for, but I never bet against Cena because every time I do, I'm wrong. Yeah, but this time, I'm glad I'm wrong.
Yeah, me too. There was a couple of scenarios that was laid out according to some sites.
But I don't think John Cena planned for the scenario that he got where he nearly got his neck broken.
Again.
Again. I was like, holy shit. Now, here's the thing that pisses me off, and Carl, I know you've got a lot to say about this too.
Mm-hmm.
But part that pisses me off is these freaking internet fans, man. You piss me off. I mean, you attack Shinsuke Nakamura and like, basically, these are the same fans that were pissing on Cena for years, and now all of a sudden, Shinsuke and John don't have good communication skills, and Cena nearly gets his head ripped off, literally. And everyone's attacking Shinsuke Nakamura, saying it's his fault. Dude, it's a two-way street. Cena didn't do enough of the rotation with the suplex, and either Shinsuke didn't put enough power behind it, or Cena thought he was going for just a plain back suplex. I don't know. But, yeah, but it did not look pretty at all. But luckily Cena had class, and both men had class, because Shinsuke apologized straight after the match and said, sorry for dropping you on your head, to which Cena said, don't sweat it.
Don't sweat it. Shit happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. What he actually said was, I'm sorry, and then John Cena said, don't be sorry. That's what exactly happened.
Yep. Let me find the GIF.
There's a GIF out there. But yeah, Shane mentioned I had a few things to say. Well, you could tell Cena's been training to prevent another neck injury, because they said maybe the way his neck is so strong nowadays is what prevented another serious injury. And yeah, I don't know what happened with the move there, but I didn't think Nakamura did it on purpose. Just something, maybe some sweat got in the way, and maybe he didn't, you know, pick him up high enough, or I don't know.
Like I said, it's could very well have just been a miscommunication.
I mean, this is pro wrestling, for crying out loud. You don't see people still bitching about Kane being a reason Seth Rollins got hurt for a while, do you?
No.
Well, because here's the thing, because like I've watched it back. I've watched it back, and the way, like, I don't know much about the falls of wrestling, but I do know certain things that they go for, and it looked like the way Cena had his arms set, looks like he was getting ready for a back suplex with his bump. I was like, okay, but you're getting launched onto your belly, dude. That's not going to work. He was bracing himself for a back suplex, and yeah, it just went really bad. I think he got surprised when he got launched even further.
Oh, I found the sorry, don't be sorry stuff.
Yeah.
I've posted those GIFs for you guys.
Yeah, there was rumors what the original finish was going to be for the match. But I'm thinking Mr. Creative Control changes my mind. Let me put this guy over.
And to that Cena, I say thank you. That's what you should be
doing. Originally supposed to be either a triple threat or a fatal four-way for the belt?
The original was, well, actually, from what I've understood, it was never meant to be a triple threat or fatal four-way. It was supposed to be one-on-one, and it is exactly what it is. And yes, we'll be seeing more of this in the next few months. Because right now, plans are for Jinder to be in the title picture till Christmas.
That's not what I'm hearing.
I'm okay with it either way. So what are you hearing, Shane?
I'm hearing that the Jinder project hasn't gone over as well as Vince was hoping.
With India people?
The India
crowd, I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, he's loved in India, but it hasn't translated through network subscriptions. So they haven't been getting many buys from India and everything else. So what I'm hearing is Nakamura is going to get the belt at SummerSlam, but he's not going to keep it. This is the part that's going to piss Jason Block off when he comes back from Vegas.
Yeah, I already know what you're aiming.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as Shinsuke wins it, Corbin's going to cash in at SummerSlam and get the belt himself, thus continuing the Corbin-Nakamura saga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen, too.
And, you know, I'm not defending Corbin, but he's not as bad as Jason thinks he is. I don't think he's ready. And I wonder if this is going to be, you know, I think a lot of people would pop for a failed cash-in at this point.
Yeah, because in history, we've only had maybe one or two.
Because Sandow's failed, Cena's failed.
Yeah.
Those are the only two that have actually failed a cash-in. And Cena, it might have been partially his fault for calling his.
Mm-hmm.
Which means Rob Van Dam is the only Money in the Bank guy who has called his cash in and won.
Thanks, Edge.
Yes, thank you, Edge. Even though we were booing you earlier in the evening, you did us all a favor. We hate Cena more than we hate you, and we miss you, man.
Yeah, I went back and rewatched that about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and it looks like we're going to be missing Edge a lot more. Segway once again, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, thank you. Your segues are very good tonight, Shane. ENC announced on their podcast that unfortunately they are not going to be doing a season 2 of the show that reeks of awesomeness. They do have stuff in the can. They did get some stuff. They got stuff done, but between WWE cutting budget and I'm guessing, you know, edging both Edge and Christian's, you know, off-screen schedules for all the other stuff that they're doing, because Edge, I know, is still getting acting roles. It was tough to put it all together in a, you know, even though it's a random goofy show anyway. Hell, I don't want to do a random goofy show like that anyway. Oh, wait, I'm doing one right now.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Actually, I while we're talking about podcast stuff, I want to bring up I've been listening to bits of podcasts where I come across stories that I wanted more information about. And I finally, even though I have a picture, it could have been Photoshop, but I have final confirmation. And actually, this came from an interview. This came with Talk is Jericho, where he was talking to Lita about the live sex celebration. And Vince said, "You guys are going to be naked. Can we really do that? You're having sex, so you have to be naked." And Jericho says, "Yeah, once he gets that in his head, that's, you know, that's what you got to do. I mean, he did that to me and Christian when the Dudleys stole our clothes."
Oh, God.
So they were for real naked. And that's why they cut away so quickly when Spike got the towels. I have wanted confirmation on this for a long time, and that picture was convincing, but I've heard it straight from Jericho, so now I know it's legit.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby.
But Jericho's got a nice ass. And Christian's got chicken legs. That's why he wore tights. For reals, yo.
That's why he was called Captain C, because it was Captain Chicken Legs.
Wow!
So, oh goodness, I'm trying to think what else we need to cover. Well, SummerSlam. Go ahead, Shane.
I was gonna say, well, there's one thing I wanted to talk about. It's the one thing we were demanding last week. What happened to Fandango?
And we still don't know. But I'll tell you what. Okay, I have not watched Twin Peaks either version. Has anybody here watched either version of Twin Peaks?
No.
Okay. Judging from the reactions on Twitter, this was apparently very spot on. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, one of the performers from Twin Peaks and the official Twin Peaks page retweeted the segment. Because apparently it was that spot on. And all of the references on the bulletin board go back to Twin Peaks. I knew Firewalk with Me. I knew that one.
But yeah, everything there was a direct nod to Twin Peaks. Which was... I've seen enough, or I haven't seen Twin Peaks itself, but I've heard enough about it to understand about half the references.
And just, you know, and the meta comment. No, no wonder this show got canceled.
But there were people were reading a lot into this segment. I've even heard fans that have said that they know who the tag team is simply from certain things they saw in this segment.
It isn't segment, but I would honestly say the entire thing. I think I know who's behind all this crap.
Yeah, they said the rose and the thorn with the thorns, mm-hmm. And then with Connor holding like the big lump. Miller's Lumber. Everyone's like, it's TM61 because it's Eddie. What's the guy's name? Eddie Thorne and
Shane Thorne.
Shane Thorne
and Nick Miller.
There you go. And that's why everyone's like, it's TM61. TM61's doing all this.
I have my feeling. And it's, well, the faciest faces who ever faced New Day are behind all of this because of everything else that's happened up until now.
All with all the nerdiness that's going on with it.
Mm-hmm.
Although the deep metaphors in them calling up TM61, who were also not at the NXT house show. And I haven't heard much about them lately, so it would be... I would think that would be really, really cool, but that sounds way too smart for WWE. That just sounds way, way too damn smart.
It does. And I know I wouldn't mind seeing it because they're obviously an Australian tag team. Thank you very much. I don't know. It's... I don't know, like, but with a New Day thing, God, that would be a swerve, wouldn't it? Holy shit!
That'd be wild because we know it ain't the Usos. We know it's not the Ascension. In fact, the Ascension are just enjoying the fact that they're getting cameos in all of this,
and also those sweet Eddie Money tickets.
I wish there was video of the Ascension in full gimmick at an Eddie Money concert. I don't care how. Now I want to. I actually want to see that.
And here's another crazy thing for you, ladies and gentlemen. I know the one of the people that was behind this was Johnny Curtis. It was goddamn Johnny Curtis. You saw him with the Ascension? That wasn't Fandango. That was Johnny Curtis in a red shirt.
I'm okay with that. We need. Well, we've already seen hints of creepy Curtis on TV, and his unique relationship with Tyler Breeze. And actually, a nice little continuity touch went at the end of the segment where Tyler does a little shh and pulls a finger down the front of the Fandango's face on the poster.
Yeah, that was creepy.
I was like, yeah, I'm okay with this. This is just, but it's brilliant. And if it turns out to be TM61, then there's a writer that needs a raise. If it turns out to be anybody else, that's WWE.
If it turns out to be a Young Bucks, someone deserves a promotion. I'm sorry, but it's true. Like, if this is the best kept secret of the Young Bucks doing all this shit, I would buy a 2-year long subscription to WWE just because of that. I'd be like, okay.
I'm confused yet intrigued, and I look forward to the result regardless. I really do.
If I find out it was Mr. America, though, I'm gonna be pissed.
You and me both, sir. You and me both. Well, speaking of characters, I've actually got a little bit of 205 Live I got to talk about.
Oh?
Tony Nese has found a character.
Uh-oh.
Tony Nese somehow figured out that, hey, if I'm a premier athlete, I should be bragging about my body like Lex Luger does. And he must listen to the show because he's added into his routine. And oh, yeah, here's the best part. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 reasons why your girlfriend's looking at me.
Oh, my.
So I'm like, I want my royalties.
I swear to God. No, it's been too many coincidences. Someone in WWE listens to this goddamn show. Somebody. I don't care who it is. It might be Johnny Ace himself, in which case that's why we get punished sometimes. But someone has to listen to this damn show. There's just been too many coincidences that have happened. We want royalties.
We want royalties, or could you at least contact me on Facebook to come on our show and do an interview? We promise we won't bring it up, but we want to talk about it off the air. Seriously. But I'm digging it. Tony Nese has embraced something, because he was one of the guys, he was one of a handful of the guys that are there that I'm trying to figure out how am I supposed to feel, what are we doing here, who are you, as the old British chant goes, who are ya? And Tony Nese, somebody who for the first handful of episodes of 205 Live, somebody just didn't tell, nobody went over and told him, dude, you've got a body. Brag. Don't just show. Tell. Go as crazy over the top as you can with it. You know, it's not Scott Steiner level. It's somewhere between Luger and Scott Steiner.
I was going to say, are we or you could go like somewhere between Steiner meets Rude.
Yeah.
As long as I don't hear the term fat asses from him.
No. Although he kind of alluded to that when he was making fun of Grime Metallic and the fact that he wears a full bodysuit and a mask. Where you been, Metallic? So, I had to bring that up because, like I said, somebody's listening to the show. I want to know who it is. I want them to confess, and I want my fucking royalties. They got us for Cartman. They got us for... They got us for Cartman. They confirmed Air Sitar. They've, you know... Cena admits he's Superman. Although we're probably not the only ones who've said that, so...
I'm sure not.
So, there is an interesting little rumor running around with the Hardys. I don't know if anybody else who has seen this.
I think I know what you're referring to, and it's not really a rumor. It's been sort of proven with their recent backstage Fallout interview, but yeah, I think I like it because they're trying to get around the whole broken thing, but it's also weird.
It is kind of weird, but it's something. A couple things have been pointed out to me. For example, the fact that Jeff doesn't really participate much in the broken hints the way Matt does. But I don't really, you know, since I only saw the first one, I don't know how much different Jeff is in the broken verse. I do like the fact that they are going to attempt something a little bit different, and there's a lot of things that are done in the Broken Universe that they can't copyright. How are you going to copyright Delete? You can't copyright Wonderful or Delightful or even Obsolete. There's what TNA, GFW, whatever the hell they want to call themselves are going to be if they keep this shit up. Seriously. But it's curious, and I want to keep an eye and an ear on it and see what is going to happen.
Oh, I'm just trying to look up. I'm actually just trying to look it up now with GFW because... something up with GFW because apparently they've acquired a new member of GFW. I'm just trying to find out who the hell it is, though, because there were rumors that Ray's choosing between WWE and GFW, so I'm just hoping it's not Mysterio.
Ray may as well just go to GFW because there's no way he's passing physical in the Fed.
Yeah, I don't know. He's like, I thought he went really well with Lucha Underground. Like he looks good as he has in years. So
okay. I just worry. But yeah, if Matt and Jeff have to dance around the broken gimmick just to piss off Nordholm, I am all for it.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm not finding anything.
Okay.
I don't really care anyways, but yeah. Oh dear.
Oh, did you talk about this? One of the folks they got for the Cruiserweight Classic, who was supposed to be on 205, but never really did nothing, Ho Ho Lun, got released today.
I just saw something on the boards about that, that HoHoLoN may or may not have been released, Raja. And of course, I've lost it. Where'd it go? Beep, beep.
Toot-toot.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Go.
Now, you know, I'd seen the rumor on the boards, and that was only recently, but if, you know, if he's done, maybe, let's see, la-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, read the article first before you make a comment.
Well, if he has been released, then unfortunately, best of luck in his future endeavors, and we're going to see him probably at ROH or GFW, or he's just going to go back to working indies.
Well, remember, he runs his own Fed, so it's not like he's going to be bored. He'll just go back and run Hong Kong PWF, and he'll be fine. And, you know, we may see him in a couple of years if the Chinese market does expand, because he's going to go back and talk about his experience, of course. And didn't they sign somebody? They signed another Chinese wrestler. So it's not like they are bankrupt of said side, because I know they still want to push into China. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen the last of HoHoLoN. We might see him again in 2 or 3 years. Blah, 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 blah. Well, this is an interesting little bit of news.
What's that?
Jericho was at a tribute event for a musician who died in a bus accident recently, a David Z.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently a bunch of fans came up to him asking for autographs and pictures, and he started to oblige, but apparently the crowd was getting bigger and bigger, so he started to turn people down. And the video that is supposedly supplied starts when apparently the yelling started, and there was much cussing.
See, that's the part that pisses me off. Like I hate the fans that just expect a person to, you know, give up time in their day to like sign autographs for a huge queue of people. It's like, no, dude, the guy's trying to live his life. He's trying to, you know, have some lunch. He's trying to have a hot dog in peace. Leave the man alone. Like, I feel bad for any celebrity that goes through that. I know I've had an incident where I unfortunately did that to a celebrity one time. I didn't mean to. It's one of those starstruck moments where you're like, holy shit, is that really him? Yes, it is. It's like, well, this is the only time you ever...
And you do it.
It's the only time you're ever going to see him.
And in this case, the fact that he was there for a commemoration of somebody who just died.
Exactly.
You know, asking for autographs at a funeral is kind of in poor taste. I would not be, if I were in Jericho's shoes, I probably would have turned these kids down flat, saying, not now. You know, this isn't why I'm here. I mean, the guy's already has a shitty enough day that he's lost a friend, and now you're trying to cop an autograph off of him. Yeah. We want to take pictures of you at your parents' funeral. Sorry, Stat Boy. Just saying it to prove a point, not a dig on you.
I know.
But no, you don't. That's stupid. You're all a bunch of stupid idiots, and you're lucky that Jericho did sign for some of you. Because normally Jericho doesn't sign outside of arenas. The few times that I've seen him, he usually signs 2 or 3 autographs and says, "Get your pictures in while I'm here." The only time you're going to get the genuine experience is when you meet him at an actual meet and greet, which you will be able to do here in the next couple of months when his book comes out. So save it for then, okay? I want to end this show with some good news. Give me some good news.
Football's back?
That depends on your definition of good news. I want to end it on a positive possible future fight that could happen.
Talk to me.
Well, as you know, because we hinted at this earlier, that, you know, Lesnar's saying he's got 1 foot out the door, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Mr. John Bones Jones has put his hand up to say, "Yeah, I want to kick your ass." So, what do we think, ladies and gentlemen? Is that, one, is that a fight you would love to see? And two, do you think it's going to be... how do I put this? Do you think it's going to be a decent fight, or do you think it's going to be as mismatched as McGregor versus Mayweather?
I think it's going to turn into a rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
And I also wonder, you know, when and if they'd even be able to get that off, given John Bones Jones' record outside of the ring. And if Lesnar can keep his nose and his piss clean.
Yeah, well, that's what people are saying. Like, if this fight were to happen, Lesnar had to enter the USDA yesterday. like he has to enter it pretty much ASAP to get the drug tests all sorted. And then the fight probably wouldn't even happen until December.
I'm going to say if this fight happens, it's not going to happen until somewhere in 2018. And by then, people won't care anymore.
It's a sad fact, ladies and gentlemen, but eventually it's going to become like the Phil Brooks situation. No one gives a shit.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. To the point that, you know, there are people in the Fed that would love to have Punk back. Because at least he'd be making money, and at least he'd be doing something. But that is going to require, first of all, that's going to require Punk and Triple H in a room by themselves with minimal furniture, and let them sort it out. And once that's straightened out, then we have a final answer. The door opens, Punk walks out and says, "Yes, I'm staying," or "No, this place still hasn't changed. Fuck you, I'm going home."
Just give the man what he wants. Like, that's what baffled me about this whole Punk situation, is the fact that to keep the man happy, all he wanted was one fucking WrestleMania main event. That's it. That's what all the crying, the bitching, and the moaning was about. Because that's what he kept circling back to. Like, he might have brought up his elbow injury and his knee injury, but it always came back around to WrestleMania main event.
Mm-hmm.
So if Paul's a smart man, sit Phil Brooks down and say, "All right, Phil, you want your WrestleMania opportunity? Fine. How about we have you come back in January, Royal Rumble, surprise entrant, you win the fucking thing. You go on to face whoever it is, Roman Reigns or whoever the hell you want. Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, I don't care. In the WrestleMania main event, the last match on the card. Will you be happy in time with us then? And I can guarantee you, if Phil Brooks is a man of his word, he would friggin' be like that.
Yeah.
He'd click his finger, he'd click the pen and be like, signed.
Signed, but I want it highlighted in the contract, because if it doesn't happen, I'm going to have the contract and I'm taking your ass to court. Oh, yeah. What are we doing about the Amon thing anyway?
Levesque would be like, look, we'll give you a hefty pay settlement, and like if he wants to sweeten the deal, say we'll give you two WrestleMania main events in a row. And then if Phil Brooks sees that and turns that down, I'd be shocked, because I don't know if I'm the only fan that thinks this, but I personally think he'd friggin' sign it without hesitation.
I also see him leaning in and saying, yeah, and one of those WrestleMania main events, I beat you.
Oh, I don't think Paul would care about that. I mean, he's lost to a lot worse wrestlers.
He has a horrible WrestleMania record anyway, so he's like, okay. You know, you have a legit beef, so it'd probably make for a great story. Let's do it.
Here's the thing I find funny about this, and this will be me taking a shot at somebody, but oh well, I don't care. I find it funny that Phil Brooks wants to give Paul Levesque shit about his business acumen. Have you met Dana White? This dude is the most corrupt prick I've ever seen in my life. He doesn't give a shit about anybody. He changes fighters like he does his tires, probably.
Yeah, probably more like his socks.
Exactly. Because like the amount of quality fighters I've seen Dana White turn his back on and talk shit about behind their backs, it astounds me. I mean, he like guys like Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture, John Jones, who recently won his fight. It's like, dude, he talks so much crap about most of his fighters. I'm surprised he has a federation that's still running. And Phil Brooks wants to get in bed with this guy again.
Dude, it doesn't constitute crawling back if you go hash it out with Hunter. No Vince. And just get this settled, because I really don't want this to be like Bruno and the WWF. I really don't. I don't want this to drag out for 3 decades. I want to see Punk in the ring again. Too many dream matches, too many opportunities, too much money on the table.
I want to see Finn Balor versus CM Punk, WrestleMania. For either the Universal or WWE Championship, I don't care. Make the match happen. I guarantee you that match will steal the show.
Give me CM Punk versus AJ Styles.
Yes, please.
In a 20-minute clinic. I don't even care if there's a belt on the line. The Battle of the Indie Darlings. Book it, Vince. Better yet, book it, Hunter. So. But man.
That was a semi-positive to end on.
No, I'll take that. You know, we want you back, Punk, but, you know, and I'm giving you, we've given you a, couple of ideas about getting in, because I know exactly who you need to talk to and what you guys need to talk about. And once you get all that shit squared away, then let's go make money together. Who knows? You might even get your ice cream bars. The New Day made jokes about it, but I don't think they actually got them. Oh, and I'll even give you one more thing, Punk. You get to go on Raw one night, look Hunter square in the eye, and said, everything I said in 2011 still stands. Everything that I tried to do, you did while I was gone. I was right. Admit it and apologize. I need another big apologize speech like he did to Vince.
And I just like to see. I'd love to see him just go on a tirade and just say, everything I said back in 2011 has come true, dude. I mean, look at it. You guys had to split brands once again. You had to bring back Shane to get some friggin' ratings. Because Vince is killing the WWE.
And, you know, his... I forgot how he put it. His idiot daughter and her doofus husband. Come on, Punk. Doofus is a term of endearment. Anyway, hi. So, yes, it should happen. I would like it to happen. In fact, I might have to write about it. So, I'm going to put a bow on the show before anything else happens. But before we go, speaking of merchandising, that's a segue too. Hey, Shane, you got anything to promote?
Yeah, sorry. Just for the Australia people, the full list for the matches we are getting for the Australian tour has finally come out. Hooray! And looks like we're going to be in for one hell of a show, no matter where you are, either in Sydney, Melbourne, or Brisbane.
And so, I take it you've signed up for at least one of these.
I wish. I unfortunately have not had the money. So, and all the good tickets are gone. My son of a bitch. But yeah, I'd go just to watch Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman in a street fight. That'll do.
Ooh, yes, that will do. That will most certainly do. Stapway, do you have anything to promote?
Not really, no.
All right. We're here for you, brother. Remember that.
Yeah.
So, Muckamuck, I guess that means you.
I guess it's on me.
Yeah, because Jason ain't here, which is strange.
Yeah, he, along with Brian Henniger and other members of Spectrum One, such as Chico Alexander, Mike Klaus, Joe Van Ginkle, are out west in Vegas for the annual T-Kona. The Trivia Championships of North America, there's a lot of events there, including the Game Show Throwdown, which all said folks are taking part in and doing some stuff like hosting and some technical work. I believe the last person to arrive today, I believe, was Chico.
Okay.
In Vegas. Unfortunately, money did not happen my way like I thought, and was trying to get out there, but I couldn't, so I'm trying to shoot for next year. Some other notable game show community members, like Aaron Sika and Brandon Foster Gray, are also on their way out there, or already there as we record this. It's a lot of fun. I try to plan to be out there next year. That takes care of where Jason and Brian are tonight. Other stuff. WLTI is wrapped up season 5. It's in the book. Season 6 will start once all parties are back at their respective homes in probably a week or two. For the 2017-2018 fall schedule previews and all that other fun stuff in the reality and game show world. The BS Big Show, I've been steadily working on it the last 4 days, catching up shows I haven't been able to get to since October. I got up to week 13 already as in the editing chamber. A couple of noteworthy situations happening last season in the NFL. And a couple of sound bites that I collected just for Nikki.
Ooh.
If we ever get a soundboard back.
Well, either I need to bite the bullet and actually buy a mini audio board, or I need to find another sounds program.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to talk to somebody who plays around on Twitch. Maybe they can help me.
Yeah. Probably Verm would help you there. But anyway, back to the BS part. New episodes begin once, like I said, all parties are back from Vegas. We're going to go have a catch-up show because we haven't done one since the first night of the NFL draft. We're going to have a catch-up show. And like I said, tonight is the first preseason game with the Hall of Fame. Looking at Jerry Jones' old ass on my TV right now.
I'm sorry.
We'll have that. We'll also have our annual season preview edition not too long after that. Plus our annual fantasy football draft special, which has been renamed this year to the JRWMFFL. Of course, in honor of our dear friend and backbone of this little network, Jim Williams. God rest you.
I love you. God's got you. Got you. And we miss you, man. Seriously.
Yeah. We do. So we got that. Pixel Nation's on highest this week as well. It's due to set event in Vegas. They'll be back next week, I believe. All the other shows here, Richly Blue State's still in hiatus. That's about it. Check us out at Spectrum1.net and all the other places you can find us if the RSS feed will ever work again. Oh! Gotta bring this up. I'm sorry. Going back to WLTI for a minute.
Yeah.
Jason did an interview with one of the producers of the current version of the $100,000 pyramid, Aaron Solomon. It's great. Listen, it's even great when their official Facebook direct links to the MP3.
No shit. That's awesome.
Not to the post, but the MP3 itself.
Still.
But still. But yeah, they talk more than this pyramid. They go about close to almost an hour and a half just talk, shooting the shit.
Well, those are the best kind.
Pretty much Jason's best interview he's ever done for WLTI for our site. Easily.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the longest one he's ever done. He is working, I'm not going to say who, but he is working on another one sometime after T-Cone is over with. That kind of has ties to the one he did with Aaron there, so we'll see.
Cool. Very cool.
But yeah, then don't forget to catch us at Spectrum1.net and all the other stuff. That's it for me.
Okay. I will be here next week. I promise. The week after, however, will be my vacation, where I'm going to be at Gen Con.
Oh boy, and that's SummerSlam Pick'em's week.
I know, and dumbass me booked my flight where I'm coming home in the middle of the damn pay-per-view, so nobody's going to come pick me up.
Oops.
Ouch.
So I got to talk to the airline about that. Anyway, but yes, I am going to be in the middle of the madhouse, the 50th anniversary of Gen Con, where I will be procuring dice for my personal collection, assisting the dice collector with his collection, dicecollector.com. If you want to see more dice than you have ever seen in your lifetime, they're all in one place, but be careful. Images are very, very large. One of the big things that Gen Con does is it's not only role-playing, it's board gaming, it's cards, it's models, it's LARP, it's, you know, anything you want that is related to a game. So to tie this in, I'm going to give a shout out to TT Combat Games, who has recently released a game called Rumble Slam. Mm. This is essentially Blood Bowl with wrestling.
Oh, baby.
I am thoroughly impressed. I might take a look into getting a kit if I can find one at the con, because right now it's only available in Europe. And the starter box is 45 pounds. But the wrestlers are orcs and dwarves and trolls and everything and what have you. And there are wrestling references. There are Street Fighter references. There are so many little references in there that I'd almost consider buying some of the figures. I'm not a models person, but some of the figures are just amazing. So, ttcombat.com, they do several other games, but if you are a wrestling games person, I will give a shout out to Rumble Slam. I will also give my customary shout out before Gen Con to Casey Clark with Spartacus Games. He's been on our show. Luchador Way of the Mask and his continuing series. I want to see what he's going to be bringing out. If you happen to be in Indianapolis during Gen Con week, bring Riot gear and a magnifying glass and see if you can play the world's largest game of Where's Nikki?
Yeah, I've been having fun the last little while of finding Nikki in the stands for various pay-per-views.
And there, I'll give you an easy one. Bad Blood 04.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm incognito, so you gotta look hard.
Uh-huh.
But if you're looking for me, Inst2, Valentine's Raw, 2005. Jeff Hardy's Return in 08. Is another one. And of course, I'm easy to find in the first one night stand one. I don't think I make camera in the second one. And just down the line, I'll give you a new one to look for me for later this year.
Ooh.
Guess who's going to TLC, bitches?
Dave nice. Dan Reynolds? Okay.
I'm working on that, by the way. I want to get him a ticket. Me and a photographer friend of mine are going. And he's trying to scratch up the money to go, and he doesn't want a chair seat. He just wants to be there. So I'm going to see what I can configure or barter.
And if real life lets him, maybe once in a while jump back on with us.
We're getting the job situation. He's got to get his job situation squared. Plus, he's moving in a couple of months.
And plus, he has baby.
Plus, he has baby. And Isaac is awesome. That little guy is awesome. He doesn't scream and he doesn't cry. Yet.
Yet.
Yet. See what happens in the terrible twos. But, so, I'm going to box up for now because... I've got 45 minutes. So for our dear Chief High Muckety Muck Carl Chenier, again, happy birthday. I'm sorry you had to work it. No one should work on their birthday.
That's all right. Thank you.
For Stat Boy Josh Henniger, dude, we're all here for you, man. You know that. My phone number ain't changed. I'm not that hard to find.
I might wind up calling you sometime late Saturday morning.
Please. I'll stay awake for that.
Okay.
And for our international correspondent, Bad News Beeman, who's got to find a way to get to one of these Australia shows, I don't care how.
I just entered a competition to try and get a double pass. So yes. He's happy.
So for you guys, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do come back again next week when we have some of our loonies coming back from Las Vegas. They ought to be a trip on the air. So, thank you, and have a wonderful rest of your week.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.